We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by. Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a TGIF kicking off March edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Rufino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station 1037 The Game. Yeah, they're serving up the crab meat cheesecake, the braised pork cheeks. That's what's on the menu here. On our menu, we've got Trev Falk, Billy Napier coming in live to Rufino's on the River to join us. And then a sit-down with James Moran previewing LSU Texas baseball. Ben Love and thrilled to be joined now by Ruffin Rodrigue, owner-operator of Rufino's on the River. I know this has been a while in the making. How awesome it is to be here. This is great.
Yeah, you know, this is just turning around, looking at the river, the beauty of it, the restaurants ready to hop on a nice Mardi Gras weekend. That's what I love about Lafayette and Acadiana. In my drive from Baton Rouge, the traffic going to New Orleans is insane. I'm sitting there going, man, I'm staying in Lafayette this weekend. I'm not going back because of the traffic. But it has its own Mardi Gras culture, and that's what we love having Rufino's here is the beauty of the season, the Mardi Gras baseball season. We're talking about the NFL draft, all the things going on right now. Having a lot of fun.
And we do have a lot going on. In fact, we need you to come out and join us. Not only can you rub shoulders, shake hands, share some stories with me, Ruffin, Trev Falk will be with us at 4:30 in the flesh, as well as Billy Napier, Raging Cajuns head coach. Heck, he lives right across the river, right?
Yeah.
He'll be with us today at 6. You can also come enter to win 4 Astros tickets. That's right. We'll send you over to the Juice Box in Houston. We got T-shirts, bumper stickers. Just come out and wind down your work week with us. All right. We do have some items on the agenda as well, Ruffin.
I've got to tell them.
What else you got?
I'm sure we could do a drink special. Tell them to come out here and have a drink on me.
It's not a bad idea.
I haven't bought a drink in so long.
I'm going to warn you how many people we're talking to right now. They'll take you up on it.
Come on by, man. For the first $500, I guess.
That's not a bad
idea.
I'll
take care of. I just hadn't bought. It's been so long since I've had a drink, so I'd like to buy some guys some drinks. I love hanging around drunk,
especially on Mardi Gras weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Come on by.
We'll have some fun. You come join us here, and we're going to have a little fun on the air as well, not just with our guests, but Ruffin, you and I talked about it off air. They're proposing some interesting and somewhat radical changes to college football. Again, none of this has been ratified. They got to review it, do all that April 17. But one of the things that's being put up for debate, the NCAA is recommending that it will now take 2 confirmed targeting calls to result in a player getting the boot for one game. Can we call this the Devin White rule?
It will be the Devin White rule. I think it'll be passed. It makes sense. Because, you know, in the Devin White situation, it was such a question of the targeting call itself. But to take him out of a game, now let's say he had one early in the season, then you probably still have the same deal. But, no, he's a clean player, knew how to play the game and knows how to play the game. That's why he'd be drafted high. But I love the rule.
And so here we are in the midst of the NFL scouting combine week, and I think that's only going to reap benefits for Devin White, for Greedy Williams, and a guy that I continue to think, after a Senior Bowl performance, is going to be on the up and up. I love Foster Moreau. I mean, a Jesuit High product, tight end LSU. Yeah. I love his chances of sticking in the NFL.
And he's a New England Patriots type player. He's he can block, he can catch, he can run. He's smart. He's a leader. He was one of the big team leaders last year. He's invaluable. I mean, it's off the charts his assets that he brings. I would think an NFL team would be glad to have him.
You want to talk with Ruffin myself, especially in this opening half hour? Hey, we'll be your Huckleberry. 706-0111. The other way, we got an extra headset. Warren Sapp said it one time. Put a jersey on, right?
Yeah.
Come put a headset on, talk a little sports with us here. at Rufino's on the River.
And come grab a free beer.
First 500. Yeah. Your word's not mine. But
that's mine. I'm going to throw
this out there, too, because you and I debated this earlier. The other rule that's being put forth for discussion, they're recommending that once you get to the fifth overtime, that you'll swap two-point conversion attempts. You'll no longer have series that start at the 25. Again, not to be Homer radio, but I think we can call it the LSU rule. Thinking about the Tigers and the Aggies, you like that? You dislike that?
So it's after two?
Once you get to the fifth overtime, you'll only swap two-point conversion attempts. No more lining up at the 25 and getting four downs.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. And well, what they're trying to do is obviously not only the players' fatigue, but the fans in the stadium. You had people passing out. It was just – and people were like, it was nighttime. It wasn't hot. I'm like, yeah, but they've been drinking all day. I mean, think about it. You've been whisking it up all day, and all of a sudden you're midnight, and you have nothing left, and the stadium ran out of water.
They cut you off after the third
quarter. Yeah, I mean, they have no water, no hydration, so people were – yeah, it was tough. I was at a wedding that night. I didn't even make it to the game. What girl used to work for us.
I heard
married.
About that. It was over at Park Lab yet.
Yeah, I was sitting there watching it with Mikey Matuk, and Mikey and I was sitting there watching the game going, I thought it was over after the regulation. I didn't think they'd call it – I forgot what it was at the end of the game, but my wife and I, we left. And I got in the car, and they said, okay, we're in our first overtime. I'm like, what? Wait. And the whole ride home to Baton Rouge was the game.
Somber.
No, we didn't lose the game until I pulled in my driveway.
Oh, wow. Okay, so
that's how long the game was.
Your drive over the basin was about six overtimes worth.
Yeah.
If this rule was in place, you'd have caught it at Grosstead.
Yeah.
And that would have been the end. And somewhere, Greedy Williams wouldn't have got the evil eye from the referee. We wouldn't be having the same conversation we're having today. Hey, I'm loving the stories that are already starting to spin, and they happen naturally. But one of the ones I love, and we'll tell this one before we head to a break, you're not new to Lafayette, not by any stretch. I love when you bring us down memory lane and some of your first remembrances of going to Raging Cajun football games.
Oh, man.
And I guess then they were Bulldogs, right?
They were the Bulldogs. That was in 72, 73. My uncle G.A., Gaston Adam, G.A. Rodrigue, played. And he was a linebacker, he was a team captain, stood in his wedding. Me and Kevin Craig, my cousin who lives in Lafayette, works for Snap-on Tools. We were both 8 years old or 7 years old in ring bearers. And John Bordelon was actually, I think, the best man in the wedding from Home Bank. And, I used to go with his father-in-law, J.C. Craig, to watch. My dad and my grandfather were driving from Thibodeau. And that was the first football I knew. Was USL football, Cajun football, and I've watched him play many, many games in that stadium and Cajun Field, and was a huge fan. And one of the hardest things I ever had to do as a senior in high school at Thibodeau was tell Coach Robertson from the Cajuns, who's one of the greatest guys you've ever met, Sam Robertson, who's big businessman in town. I'm good friends with his son, and you are too, I think,
yep.
Andrew. And he came all the way to Thibodeau, and I was in the gym, LaRusse's gym in Thibodeau. And I walked outside. He was waiting for me. And I had to, it was 2 days before signing period. I said, LSU offered me. I can't, I got to give it a shot. And it was really hard for me because I knew I still had a love for USL, and to play in the SEC was, and my dad had played at LSU. Wanted to give it a shot, and if it didn't work out, I'd have transferred to USL. But it did work out. Had some good leaders and worked hard and became a decent player.
And here we are today. And one of the things we're blessed to do, and look forward to telling this story maybe on the other side of the break, we're wearing some certain pins today. And, boy, they're as Lafayette as they come, aren't they?
Well, before the pin.
Hit me.
My favorite story as a kid, when I was at that young boy at Cajun Field, was in the locker room with my Uncle G.A., and he said, Ruff, he said, go over there and get that guy's autograph. He's going to be famous. It was Rafael Septian.
Oh, wow.
The kicker. And people laugh. They go, oh, he's famous, all right. Look, I'm like, no, he won a Super Bowl. He was a great NFL kicker. and he was a great guy to me as a child. You know, sign him an autograph, and I'm sure I have it somewhere. No, I need to find, but that was a great moment.
We got a lot going on to discuss, brother. We got number one, LSU baseball taking on Texas over in Austin. Cajuns baseball hosting Maryland. We'll talk a little bit more about some of these NCAA football rule proposals. Plus, hey, it's basically open bar, and the bar is open right now. So come out and join us at Ruffino's on the River. Your chance to come meet Ruffin Rodriguez, talk some shop with us, enter to win Astros tickets, and more. Don't forget, Trev Falk will be here 4:30, Billy Napier at 6 o'clock. And today's program, taking you right up until the first pitch, LSU, Texas at 6:30. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back out to Ruffino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Rev it back up and right back in to Ruffino's on the River. Ben Love joined by Ruff and Rodriguez. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Another quick update before we get into a few questions for you. The Cajuns released their 2019 football schedule earlier today. And really, I guess that means the Sun Belt gave their portion of things for the league. So it's going to be, I think, one that's chock full of some pretty good games at home. They're going to play three times in the midweek, and that's going to allow them to get on ESPN2, on ESPNU. But one thing that's interesting, the opener, Ruffin.
Wow.
How about that? Mississippi State in the Superdome. Labor Day weekend to lead off the season.
And their quarterback's gone, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Fitzgerald's gone.
Yay! All right. Devin White knocked him out. He's
Fitzgerald's gone, and they got the kid from hometown kid. He's going to be a starter, right?
Keaton Thompson.
Thompson, yeah.
Absolutely right, from New Orleans. So that'll be a big one if Napier can spring that upset. The program has officially arrived on the national stage.
Watch out.
After that, here's what's interesting. They'll get Hugh Freeze and Liberty coming here to Lafayette.
Yeah.
I believe Texas State after that on the 14th, and then you got to wait a little while. App State, that's a Wednesday night game, October the 9th, inside of Cajun Field.
That's going to be rocking.
You're going to be almost 2 months, though, between weekend home football games, kind of the way the schedule works out. It'll be from September the 14th all the way to November the 2nd, and excuse me, that one will be Texas State. But nonetheless, they've got a schedule that's – look, they got some good games on there.
Yeah, it's a little heavy on road games at the end. Three road games in a row. No, two in a row. Excuse me. I thought it was three.
Yeah, two in a row toward the end.
Yeah, we did three one time not long ago. And we got our first
I see that.
Radio customer. There was a
martini that was tipped in your direction. Actually, two martinis.
Yeah.
There you go. We got 2 points.
I love
it. We got two martinis. And then a couple of guys talking on the radio.
That's right. We're not messing around, man.
It's not a bad deal on a Friday night.
It's not a bad deal.
And by Friday night, I mean 4:18 p.m. All right. I'm going to indoctrinate you here, my friend. We do something every day. We call it the sink or swim question of the day. Today we've got two of them for you to try on for size, and you're going to dig the little theme music we send it in with.
Love Boat.
The Love Boat.
Yeah.
Sure.
We actually have a crooner that sings it here. Oh, yeah.
Well, then here we are. Exactly. Here we are trotting out the TV version. We could have had your crooner. But the music has played. Now, here are the questions. Your sink or swim question today, part one. Which game excites you the most about the 2019 LSU football schedule and the UL football schedule? Part two, and you know we got to theme it. If we're here at Ruffino's on the River, what is your favorite thing to eat? Be it app, entree, dessert, heck, it could be the cotton candy. Your favorite thing to eat here at Ruffino's on the River. Call us up. Let us know. 706-01 1-1. Ruffin, I'm going to let you lead. Go whichever direction you want. The food, the favorite games. What do you think?
I can tell you that my favorite games easily, because they're both one of them is the second game of the season, one of them is the first game of the season. I mean, Mississippi State and New Orleans is going to be a huge, huge hit. But the LSU, I mean, at Texas is going to be, you know, we've played them before in bowl games and different scenarios, but that was one place I never got to go when I was at LSU, and we went so many different places because we, back then, our out-of-conference schedule was A&M, Ohio State, USC, Miami, Florida, Notre Dame. I mean, I've been to some amazing places to play college football. But never, you know, Texas was one of those places that always was just a kind of, what I say, it's almost the biggest question for me because they should be where Alabama is.
Why aren't they better?
Why have they never been so, they should have been elite for so long. And it's just puzzling because people, when you grow up in Texas, I mean, you got the Longhorn sign, the whole deal. But A&M's always had the, in my opinion, especially a little later, had a better team, better program, better facilities. And Texas has got everything. I mean, Austin's the hottest place to live. And
I think in some ways you could track it back to one of the biggest problems LSU's had, and it's quarterback play. Now, I know they've had Vince Young. Colt McCoy was a phenomenal college football player. But by and large, if they're picking off the Texas high school football trees, those kids that play prep quarterback in the state of Texas – almost always aren't destined to play high-level Big 12 quarterback. That's my opinion. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, you know, Big 12, you have to be able to throw the ball, obviously. I mean, look at what –
Drew Brees couldn't even play at Texas when he came up in the state.
No, I mean, look at – Mahomes couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the players that Texas Tech had gotten because Texas didn't want or – you know, it's just it's amazing how they can get, you know, Mack Brown was one of the best recruiters you can get, but he was a soft coach wherever he went. Line of scrimmage, he never really got a hold of. He was a great technician coach and all that, and a great guy, but his defenses were soft and his linemen were soft. So I'm looking forward to that LSU game at Austin, which I'm actually going to, and I'm also going to make the Mississippi State New Orleans game, which is just going to be a fantastic opening.
Your favorite thing to eat in your own restaurant? And I don't think it varies very much from here to Baton Rouge, but what do you like dining on the most when you come into town?
Well, their specials are always fantastic when you get a fresh Gulf fish. But my favorite is, you know, we got some staples on the menu we've been having for 20 years, ever since we were DiNardo's back in the day. And we actually still have dishes named. When I named the dishes after DiNardo's mom and his son, Veal Michael, was one of my favorite dishes.
Is that named after his son?
Michael DiNardo,
I didn't
yeah.
even know.
And Fish Katie, both T.J. Moran, who was our partner at the time, and Jerry have a daughter's named Katie. And so we named that after Katie. And then those are two of my favorites by far because of the how long they've lasted and how they're still at the top of the charts as far as the you know, sales product.
If I come here, bring my wife, and we don't have crab meat cheesecake, I get in trouble the next day. So it typically has to start there for me. It can go in different directions
from
there.
That's funny because I mentioned my cousin earlier, Kevin Craig. He would actually drive from Lafayette and come to Baton Rouge, teed the restaurant Baton Rouge, which is not a bad drive. It's just about an hour and 15 without traffic. But he would order a – you can ask his – girlfriend Kelly, order a crab meat cheesecake or appetizer, two for entrees, for his entree, and have one for dessert. When I decided to make the jog to Lafayette, and I told him about it, I said, I'm thinking about calling the crab meat cheesecake.
Yeah.
Because everybody that comes in from Lafayette loves it so much. And it really is that good. It's savory. I know it's cheesecake, but it's savory. And it's made with cheese, you know, like six different cheeses and the jumbo lump crab meat. It's just phenomenal. And it's served with meunier and the hollandaise sauce.
So I'm going to go in a little bit further there because for me, it is the crab meat cheesecake. And you said have it for dessert. That's a term that I think I coined. I call it post-app, right?
Yeah.
If it's an app, I liked it and I have it again. After the entree, it's just post-app. So I like that. I'm going to throw out LSU in Tuscaloosa. And not just this year, any year. And I'll give a specific memory because I was standing next to you. You were standing next to Kevin Mawai, and we watched, I believe it was November 5, 2011, go down. The 9-6 overtime game inside Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Oof.
It's hard for me to replicate that memory or that feeling when it comes to college football. When LSU went in, they had just the wildest game you could imagine. If you think it was boring because it was low scoring, you don't know football, is my opinion. It was incredible.
It was that game. You know, the funny part, that game had a lot of hype. I thought this past year was even more hype. It was almost too much hype this year. But in that game, the hype going into Bama was just phenomenal. And for us to win, I mean, I didn't. When I woke up that morning, I was like, man, I know we have a great team, but quarterback play is just, you know, what would happen with Jared and his nerves, and what would happen with Jordan if you got, you know, just. But it turned out that, hey, look, it was like a Matt and Mark type game when we beat Tennessee and nobody could believe it. They weren't. Whenever you don't prepare for somebody, a quarterback, I mean, it'll people go, oh, the quarterback's hurt. But no, if the backup can run, and you're used to practicing for a passer. That's what happened against Tennessee. That's how we beat Tennessee, I think, in 2000.
The modified quarterback draw all day long.
Yeah, and that's the same thing what happened with Jordan Jefferson in the option against Alabama that year. And you see it, you know, a lot when a quarterback like Georgia against Alabama last year in the national championship game, when they switched from Jalen Hurts to Tua. Tua's good, but they weren't prepared for him.
One of the very rare times I've seen Nick Saban kind of do too much and overthink the situation was in that 2011 game. And so he lets his wide receiver, who had a decent arm, Marquise Mays, throw a pass down the field, and then Eric Reed goes up and gets it at the goal line. I think that about that point, Alabama was about to have LSU in surrender Cobra mode there.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest plays in LSU history as far as the perfect season. I have to actually reference that play the other day of the Tennessee basketball game because I said, wish we had Eric Reed to intercept the inbound basketball.
In overtime?
In overtime, yeah.
When he made the second free throw?
Yeah.
We talked about that this week, didn't we?
Yeah, when he made the second free throw.
Yeah.
Which I'm still having an argument with Jimmy Ott about. He said there was a timeout left, and there weren't any timeouts left.
Respect to the Otter. I don't get the other side of the coin there. You have to miss that free throw.
There was no timeouts left.
0.6 seconds left, maybe?
Yeah, 0.6 seconds. And
they
said, well, they could have called a timeout. I'm like, if he touches the ball and he called a timeout, I don't think you get 0.6 seconds.
You would hope not in the PMAC.
Not, you know, time. I don't know. Anyway, I thought it was pretty crazy.
We're going to take another break. When we come back, Trev Falk, he's on his way. Look, our man was watching the LCA girls win a state championship in Alexandria. He's come down 49. He's back in town. He'll be with us shortly. When we return, we will tell that story about our lapels, the pins we got on, and we'll invite you to come out and join us at Ruffino's on the River. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
A little bad company.
Oh, yeah.
To play us back in. Running with the pack.
I got a turntable. I got not long ago from a buddy of mine, an old turntable, and Bad Company is one of the albums he had to play. You got to hear it on vinyl, man.
I'm with you on that. The wife and I literally, and I'm not joking, Jen and I just bought one a week ago, and I'll shout them out, Lanyap Records on Jefferson Street downtown.
Oh, yeah. That's where I got mine.
They hooked it up. The turntable, the speakers.
And, you know, the thing is, if you have an 11-year-old son who's never seen it, and you show your kids
blowing his mind?
Yeah, they don't understand it. How does that happen? What I mean, it just completely, it was like, it was fun. They didn't know anything about it.
Ben Love joined by Ruff and Rodri. You're listening to Bumper Sports here on 103.7 The Game. We'll be joined shortly by one of the best linebackers in LSU history, Trev Falk en route. This guy, Ruffin, a freshman All-SEC performer, two-time first team All-SEC player, a Butkus Award semifinalist, played for three NFL teams. I know you wanted him to stay for one more year at LSU, but the resume as it is, especially the tandem with he and Brady James, it's never been that good at LSU.
No, another great story. I don't know if Trev was on that trip or not. We have to ask him. When Brady, you know, we were DiNardo's restaurant, Jerry DiNardo's, and we used Jerry's name and all that, and I was running the show, and it was a Sunday, and Jerry asked me to come over to his house and sing happy birthday for a recruit. I said, sure. I said, I don't have any managers. I had to leave the restaurant. Jerry lived pretty close to the restaurant, but I had to leave the restaurant bare, no managers, just running on a Sunday brunch. And went to the house, had all these recruits and coaches there, and sang happy 18th birthday to Brady James. Brady still tells that story. And you know,
serenaded him.
Yeah, serenaded him.
Sure.
And it's an operatic whatever God gave me. But I don't know if Trev was on that trip, but they became the best of friends, and they kind of reinvented that position. We never had linebackers that long and that fast.
6'3"?
Yeah.
They back were, in the late 90s?
The only guy I remember with that kind of length and speed was Keith McCants, who I played against Alabama. Keith was long. Derek.
Oh, Alabama.
Yeah, the best.
Yeah, played
player
for the Chiefs.
Anyway, Derek Thomas was one of these guys that he wasn't real long. He was just so fast, and he had to burst. Keith McCants had the length, and he ran a 4.40 or whatever. And that's what Brady and Trev brought is that not only speed, but they had the length, and they could brush off blockers and make plays with their hands and make and cover tight ends one on one.
So we'll have Trev momentarily. Already though, look, people heard your offer; they're taking you up on it. As we're here at the bar, Rufino's on the river. Got to talk with Bill in the break. Lives in the Eunice area. Our guy Dave Schultz, host of the morning show, program director for 103.7 The Game, is here. And if you say free drinks, my friend Doc is going to come running. So Doc is here, and if anybody has any issues tonight medically, we're covered.
Oh, really? Real doctor?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, good deal.
It's not like a guy who calls himself Sarge that didn't, you know, actually represent the country.
They just come write you any medication. No, I'm just kidding.
So, Ruffin, I'll ask you to give some symbolism behind your friendship with the master and the creator of the Blue Dog, because right now we're both wearing Rodrigue pins that have 68 on our lapels. Pretty cool. They got your LSU number on it, but you had grown a very good friendship with the late, great Rodrigue.
Yeah, everybody knows George. From New Iberia, grew up, and you know, the Rodrigue name is – I'm from Thibodeau. My dad's family is from Vacherie, where there's a plethora of Rodrigues, but Thibodeau-Chack Bay area is really where the heart of the name is. And there's a lot in New Iberia and some in Lafayette. A lot of them from Lafayette, I know they've moved here from Thibodeau. But the name originated in Brittany, France, back in the day. It was actually the surname to Rodriguez, which is one of the most popular names in the world. I mean, it was Rodrigue before any of that, and then they added a Z as people used to do that when they changed names. They would add a Z or an S, whatever, wherever they would resettle. But, you know, they came over to Nova Scotia, and George and I love talking about that, you know, because Jean-Claude was the one that came over, and we talked about our history and how he's by far the most famous Rodrigue. And I said, we were in Washington, D.C. Mardi Gras, and I said, George, I said, you get these LSU 1 pin with number 1 on it. You raise all this money for the Alumni Association and the foundation. I said, can you paint me a 68? And Jacques, who's one of my dearest friends, who has the Blue Dog Cafe not here in Lafayette, Jacques is kind of looking at that. And then George said, you know what, Ruff? I'm going to go ahead and do that. What's your number? And I said it. And he wrote down like 69. I was like, no. I said, 68.
That'll take on a different symbol.
Yeah. I said 68, and he wrote it down, and he ended up walking away, and Jacques said, I've never heard my dad promise. He's never promised a non-commissioned painting. He said, it's the first one. He goes, you know he's going to do it. He's true to his word. He's the most honest man I've ever. I'm like, really? And sure enough, about 3 months later, he walked in on a Wednesday, painting in tow in Baton Rouge Restaurant, handed it to me. Had it signed on the back, and I was just... So I have it hanging in the fireplace at Baton Rouge. I had it here for a little while. I need to bring it back here for...
Well, you got one wrapped on the inside of this wall here that's adjacent to one of the dining tables. I don't think that's the one that was
These are real... This is a painting of the Blue Dog with Rodrigue across the chest. Number 68 on the...
Oh, no.
Yeah, just like the pin.
That's a different animal.
Yeah.
I've been...
That's the first time he's ever done anything like that.
That's how you can tell I've gone full on Lafayette, brother. I haven't been to Rufino's in Baton Rouge since I moved. It's been about 4 years now.
I'm gonna bring it here again. I swap it out every few years, and I need to put it in Lafayette and let people get a chance to see it. It's really a special painting.
As soon as we get Trev here, we'll have a real fun conversation. In fact, look, you mentioned his name, and a man with an
magically,
sweatshirt, man. Walks right in. Now we got another headset, and
okay.
We could sit him right to the right of you.
Yeah.
You're the restaurateur. I'll let you seat him. That part we'll have no problem with, but we'll be joined here momentarily by Trev Falcon. I know what he's been doing. He's been in Alexandria. He's been watching the girls win a state championship, those Lady Knights. First-year coach Devin Lanche, LCA, winning the championship, their third straight. So we got to congratulate him for that. We'll do that momentarily as we'll have Trev here. And don't forget, we're leading you up until LSU Texas baseball here on 103.7 The Game.
How many people are making it over there?
Well, let me tell you this. That stadium seats 7,000, so
Ooh.
A lot less than Alec Box, right?
Man.
Now, how many Purple and Gold fans will be over there?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see 800, wouldn't it?
Ooh, you may have more.
Think so?
Oh, yeah, the alumni in the Houston area. I would say they'd make that trip. Houston has the largest alumni.
I do know that.
Outside of Baton Rouge.
Oh, really?
I think it's bigger than New Orleans.
That is incredible.
I mean, there's a lot more people in New Houston.
That's true. So the Houston group, hopefully taking over Austin, not a far drive at all. And we'll see how many seats they fill up. Like I said, UFCU Dish Falk Field is what it's called. I know that. They could fit 7,000. And we're getting Coach Trev Falk set up right now. A man who just watched the state championship. He's helped to lead the football team to the first ever state championship at LCA. Now it's been two straight. Coach, you know we're happy to have you here. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for having me. I apologize. I'm a little late. But like I texted you a little earlier, I went out and supported our girls, and they were able to take care of business for the third year in a row, which is incredible. And made it here a little late, so I apologize again.
Never a problem. We're happy to have you here. And Ruffin was just talking about the days of you along with Brady James, so I'd love for you to remember back in the day playing football. And he wants to know if you were around when he sang Happy Birthday.
Were you at Brady's birthday on 18th birthday when I sang at Coach Nardo's house?
So what happened is we went on our recruiting visits on the same weekend. I left on the Sunday.
Oh, that was,
I flew to Florida.
It was a Sunday afternoon I did it.
To visit the University of Florida that Sunday because that was Martin Luther King weekend.
You just missed it.
I know.
Brady loves telling the story. Every time I see him, he tells his little girl and tells Star, his wife, ever tell you that story about Ruffin singing to me? Star's like 1,000 times.
I think you made the difference. That's what made the difference.
I know this. When we first started polling the managers here, Chris, Greg, at Ruffino's on the River, who should we have in? And they said, well, I can tell you from the sports scene who comes in on their own. And they said, Trev and his wife are here all the time. So I love this place. My wife and I come too, but you guys got to love it here on the River.
Absolutely. We were actually here a few weeks ago. One of my wife's a real good friend, she had a little birthday party here. So, came for my wife's birthday in December as well. So, yeah, we try to come as pretty regularly.
Yeah, he's, Trev, I can remember, brought in with the help, I think it was Mark Hanna.
Correct.
We closed on a Monday, and we had the entire Northeast football team here.
Oh, Northside?
Northeast. That's where Trendon went, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Northside is where, that's when I got to meet the kid that's playing now, the big defensive lineman.
Tyler Shelvin. Correct.
I got to meet him. I mean, he ate his and he ate two of his teammates' portion. He didn't stop. He loved the steak, so that was a good thing to do.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was great.
That was awesome.
I've been lucky enough to be on the call. Other two state championships in the Dome, but I'll let you tell Ruffin what it's been like leading some of these young men to heights that program and upstart really had never been to before.
Really, it's been incredible. I think it really all starts at the top with Pastor Jay and his vision and what he wanted to accomplish with the football program, really just with the school, with athletics and everything else in general, and just having the support from him, our principal, Ms. Babb, and superintendent, Mr. Norris, and just the entire staff. That we have tremendous coaching staff, tremendous environment. The biggest thing is we have some great kids, really good character that work hard and really make you want to go to work every day and put in work with them. So it's a blessing.
Yeah, the guy told me the other day, he said, "Ruff, you gotta come see this this lineman play." And he said, "Fitzgerald
West."
West. And I went, "Wait, his last name's Fitzgerald? No, his first name's Fitzgerald." He said the number one recruit for LSU, the guard from Capitol, he said he took him to
kid from Southern Lab.
Southern Lab.
Yeah,
right.
State semifinals.
Right. Southern Lab, who's a – I think he's rated the number two guard in the country or something. And Fitzgerald West as a sophomore
he's
or a freshman.
This year. He's a freshman this year.
And he had a hard time blocking him.
Yes.
Wow. Started a state championship game as an eighth grader.
Right. Right.
He must be a man.
Oh,
I want to watch. I can't wait. I want to watch the film.
And here's my understanding. I know they've won these two championships, select side, but 1A football, moving up to 2A next year. We're going to talk about that. My understanding
is
they're
going to have to put y'all.
You take a long nap, you'll be in 4A in a few years.
They're going to have to almost do what they do with they're going to have to end up start doing with U-High if U-High continues that crazy. I mean, they were almost beatable last year. With the talent they had, almost got boring.
You come into Acadiana and you say that, and the St. Thomas More fans will want to have a word, though. That was a pretty tight game in the Superdome.
It was, and that's the fun part was that coach at St. Thomas More is a real deal. I'm telling
Hall of Famer.
That University High team, they had non-starters that are getting scholarship offers.
Oh, and by scholarships, as you know, I mean
Division
Georgia,
one. Yeah,
Alabama.
I mean
A&M.
I think
Clemson.
I think Jordan Clark.
Arizona State.
You know, and I asked Ron. It's LSU. Even he said LSU never called. But well,
we'll find out. There'll be a different head coach there as well. Chad Mahaffey, who had me over at Catholic High in Baton Rouge back in the day, did a great job at U-High 9 years, and now moving over to Walker High School. Why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break. I want to carve out more time on the other side. Ben Love, Ruffin Rodrigue, Trev Falk, come check us out. Have some fun. Have a drink. Get into your weekend at Rufino's on the River. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in for the final time in hour number one. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Hanging out at Rufino's on the River. Starting to get a nice bar crowd here. Our friend Steve from the Berry just walked in as well. Look, he's got the LSU koozie. He's probably in the right place. I think we'll see some vermilion and white as well. Don't forget, Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns, will be with us live at 6 o'clock. But right now, Ruffin Rodrigue. To my immediate right, Trev Falk, a couple of feet over. Let's see where we left off. We talked about LCA, what the Knights are doing, taking flight. Fitzgerald West, the youngster, has got a chance to go a lot of different places. But I know that you wanted to get back to the college days a little bit. And so I'll ask Trev this. What are some of your fondest, memories of what the end of the DiNardo era, the beginning of the Saban era was like? Right now, we look at LSU football, and people are pretty happy about a 9-win season. They're really happy about a 10-win season. It was a little different back then.
Yeah, definitely. My freshman year, we went 3-8 and had a lot of tough defeats. We had a lot of one-score games that really could have went either way.
The first one was Georgia, right? Was a slide.
Correct.
We opened the restaurant 3 days later.
Right.
On a Monday.
That was actually my first start of my college career at Georgia in Between the Hedges.
Freshman year.
And we ended up, I don't remember the score exactly, but we lost by like 6 points, 6 or 7
yeah.
points. Something like that. Quincy Carter was that guy. So going from 3-8 to a couple years later, going 10-3, winning the SEC for the first time since like 88, 89.
I can still see Robert Royal overtime, right?
Right. That was huge. That was huge.
That's when Matt Monk came in.
Absolutely. Rohan went down. Tofield went down.
That was the funnest game I've ever attended.
That year as well, if I remember right, they had to move Auburn, and I believe because of 9/11,
correct,
from where it was slotted to the end of the year, and it became an SEC
correct.
West clincher.
Right, exactly. We ended up defeating those guys in at our place 28-14, and 2 years prior to that was the cigar game when they got after us pretty good that day and then smoked the cigars on our field afterwards. So it was huge for us to be able to come back a couple years later and take care of them.
You know what's funny is I just got off the phone with, because he lives in my neighborhood, but he's got two teammates still playing in the NFL. We're talking about the good old days with Andrew Whitworth and Donnie Jones. Donnie right. Jones is actually my wives are real good friends in Baton Rouge, and he just got bored of retired life for like 1 week, and he signed with the Chargers, so he's going to go again and punt.
You didn't play with Kyle Williams, did you?
Kyle was a little bit after,
and he just retired.
You didn't overlap.
You know, Andrew was a 4-year starter at LSU, one of the only ones. He was, and look at him,
right?
That 10-3 team, rough and so good, as you remember, they had to start greasing and skidding the goalposts after two takedowns. They weren't letting that happen at Tiger Stadium anymore.
Oh man, that was some good old days. And I tell you, we like I said, Trev, you and Bray, what I loved about it, because LSU, we were so used to the 6'1" compact linebacker who could take on guards and shug and, you know, get pad leverage. But when Brady and Trev came in, I'm like, the defensive ends? I mean, that's what they look like. And with the long arms and the length and the speed and the strength, we'd never seen that. The only guy that was close was Keith McCants, who was the first pick of the NFL draft my senior year. I tried to block. I couldn't catch him. He was so fast. You know, Derek Thomas wasn't that long, but he was like Flash Gordon. I mean, he would just make a move, and I'd be like, well, where'd he go? You know, I mean, he was that's why he had 7 sacks in one game in the NFL. But Trev and Brady brought a total dynamic. Saban was just, he loved it. I mean, loves those long, strong, fast linebackers.
Coach, one thing I've never asked you, and we just got kind of Ruffin's rundown of how he ended up at LSU. Obviously, there was a peel coming down I-10. You played at Lafayette High. What else got you to wear the purple and gold? What was the pitch, if you will, that, okay, that solidified it for me?
Really, seeing my cousin Kevin have success there, that's what really did it for me. Growing up, oddly enough, I was a Notre Dame fan, probably because they were the only team that played on TV every week, and so they were kind of the first team that I remember watching and kind of following. Had an opportunity to go there for a visit and, you know, was offered a scholarship by those guys. But once I went there and got off of 3 flights and flying for the first time there in my life and realizing how cold it was and how cold it was going to be, decided that wasn't going to be the place for me. But really, just the opportunity to, like I said, watch Kevin go and have success there. He graduated, was able to make some real good connections for post-football, had a lot of success on the football field there. I figured that those were all of the things that I desired to do. So
now he's a coach. Now he's a coach there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's nothing like you said, being able to, you know, my mom was able to come and watch me play. My family, they loaded up, and, you know, that's one of the things that they miss the most. They still talk about those trips to Baton Rouge and around to the different schools in SEC.
My parents, same way. It's a once-in-a-lifetime deal, but that was my mom died last year. That was the one period that she remembered most in her deathbed was she – those times when I played ball at LSU and her friend, it was a gathering. It was a family style gathering. It was great. And I mean, you can tell the character of the Falk family. When Kevin Falk, he's got to be, I'm telling you, Tom Brady calls you the best player ever played with, which he did several times. He's talking about Kevin Falk. And I saw that. I don't know how I got tickets to the Super Bowl when they played the Rams.
New Orleans?
Yeah, was it 99 or 2000?
No, it was 2001.
01,
okay.
9/11 as well. That's
That's right, because security was crazy, and I brought this I can say it now. It was actually a server who worked for me back then. I was young enough. She was a friend, but we went up, and I had good seats, the whole deal, but I had my binoculars on Kevin most of the time, pregame, the whole deal. And, you know, they're the first team. They changed the Super Bowl the way they used to come out individually. And I saw it. They said the Patriots are coming. They introduced the Rams, and the Patriots came out, and Kevin was in the front. And he got in the middle, and he did his deal in the middle. And I'm like, Kevin's already the leader of this team. And they came out as a team, and they didn't come out individually. We're going to win this game. Watch this. And they did on the military field goal. Now, Kevin's humble enough. We all decided on. I said, Kevin, you were the obvious leader out there. I watched the whole thing, man. Everybody had their eyes on you. Just like you put in your head that time, the LSU game, all eyes on me. Your team's eyes were on you. You were the leader of that team. And he's, man, what a born leader.
I got a heartbreak coming up. Coach, I know you're loyal. That means I know you got to be at the Plex tonight, right? The boys
yes,
are playing
sir.
A quarterfinal
yes,
game.
Sir.
Any chance we steal you for about 10 more minutes?
Yes, sir. Yes,
I love
sir.
That. We'll be right back in. Trev Falk, Ruffin Rodrigue, and I'm Ben Love. You're listening to Bumper Sports live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. I'm Ben Love, joined again by Ruffin Rodrigue and Trev Falk. You're listening to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Look, the drill is simple. You got great guests, you got to keep it here. So we'll call a bit of an audible. James Moran, editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, he'll be with us now at 5:30, and he'll give us a preview of LSU-Texas baseball. How about two programs as we bring Ruffin and Trev back in? LSU-Texas baseball, guys, a combined 12 national championships, 6 apiece. Yeah, these are some blue bloods.
You're talking about the two most storied. I got a picture of the head coach, Augie Garrido, who coached at Texas for how long? Years. Came in the restaurant.
In Baton Rouge?
In Baton Rouge. I was coming in from out of town. I see him at the baseball game that night with Skip Bertman. He introduces me to him. He had the biggest personality. Coach Garrido was from Texas, but he was retired. And he knew all the celebrities and all that. I think he had a couple with him that night, but he stops everything. And Skip didn't have a chance to introduce me. I think he recognized me from the pictures on the wall. And he said, Rufino. He said, I didn't know if I was in Vegas, New York, or L.A., but that's where I felt like today in your restaurant. And he was talking about the feel and the food and how wonderful, one of the best places. I'm like, man, that's coming from a guy that's been everywhere. From what I hear, I mean, Tom Hanks kneels down to him. You know, he's one of these just celebrity guys. And he died less than a week later.
Well, and look, okay. I'm glad you brought that up because it all ties in. He was in town, as you know, because Texas was playing at LSU, and they had some pretty iconic pictures and moments from the box where it was Skip Bertman, Paul Maneri, and Augie Garrido.
Oh.
And then you're right. About a week or two later, he was gone.
About a week. I remember. I heard the news, and they said he was fine, but aneurysm or, you know, something just hit him. Crazy.
So Trev Falk with us now, Ruffin, and he gets to have fun on a night like tonight, right? He's watching girls' basketball. He's watching boys' basketball. He's won 2 straight state championships. But soon he's going to have to start thinking about playing Louis Cook in Notre Dame because they're moving into the same district as the Pios, and so that ought to be a lot of fun. Tell me about moving up in weight class and taking on some opponents that I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch some of these battles.
Definitely. We're definitely excited. Our kids have really embraced it since kind of they've started hearing rumors and everything about some of the people that we have on our schedule. Even our non-district schedule is really, really tough with Westgate and Northside and Acadiana and St. Helena Central Evangel. So even before we get to
Evangel and LCA, Ruffin.
We have a really, really challenging schedule that our kids are looking forward to and we're looking forward to as well.
From what I hear, from the talent, the character of the players that are coming, that are at LCA, you better watch out. Because you get both, you get talent and a little bit of character. You get talent and all character, whew, that's a hard one to deal with.
And, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not just Notre Dame. I think that's the name everyone gravitates toward, but Lake Arthur, Welsh as well.
And Port Barry.
Welsh won a state championship just
two years ago,
right?
They lost in the finals last year, so they've been there 2 years in a row. Notre Dame's been there 2 years in a row. It'll be a little bit different. standing on the opposite sideline of Coach Cook, to be honest. I'm not sure if I've ever shared this with you, but he's been a huge mentor, a huge blessing to my career. I go and spend time with him during the offseason at least once, sometimes 2 to 3 times a year. I went and spoke to him, matter of fact, in January. So Coach Mack, who's his defensive coordinator, a long time there, gave me a hard time telling me I can't come back there anymore because we're in the same district now. But, yeah, he's been a
– Ruffin, that struck a chord with you.
That's exactly – people ask me, man, how is football so big in South Louisiana? I mean, in Louisiana, my buddies that live in California, some old teammates or whatever in the World League, and they would text me, hey, man, why are we all these players come out of Louisiana? It's the program – look, I'm not talking about the LHSAA. We know that was a big mess. But Coach Cook, all the legendary coaches that don't really look at Trev as a competitor. They look at him as a friend who want to grow the sport. They know he's going to teach and coach and lead these young kids.
Ambassadors.
My Uncle Don, Coach Rod, never been a head coach, but my uncle must coached at 15 different high schools. He knows everybody in the state, but he promotes teaching the young kids the right way to do things, the right techniques, to fall in love with football. That's why Louisiana is so flourished with talent. You know, and we eat well too.
Absolutely.
But the coaching is everything.
You know, why did not know Coach Rod was your uncle? I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, yeah, he looked just like my dad.
Yeah, I go and work the camp at Nichols that they have every summer. Yeah,
yeah, with Henry Thomas and all those guys.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I never knew that.
Oh man,
never
yeah,
knew
he's.
That.
Yeah, because when y'all go to my dad does something at his house, so that's my dad's house. I think y'all go to. I've never been. I've been to one of them. Maybe I went last year, but I've never been invited to a coach because I sweat too much. No, it's a family. Everybody knows my Uncle Rod, and now everybody knows the who's the next Neil. One of my favorites in Baton Rouge.
Neil Weiner.
Man, what a
I had the honor
what
being,
a legacy he's.
I had the honor of being coached by Neil twice. I got to Catholic in Baton Rouge as an eighth grader. I played freshman football twice for the man. Receivers coach was Chad Mahaffey. And there's a couple of others that are still bouncing around as head coaches throughout the area. And that Catholic
guy
tree guys, under
that's
Neil
the reason why I was – and that's what I told Neil that I had to do a lip sync thing one night. I said, I'm not lip syncing. I'm singing. And I sang disco. It's hilarious, but he was a part of the program, and really the first or second time ever got a chance to really meet him. And I said, Coach, I know you know who I am, and I know who you are. I said, but I just want to tell you, the reason why I know you, I feel like I know you, is because all the young men that you have put out of that program have so much character. I start with Ward Dunn. I can remember meeting Ward Dunn for the first time, going. Can I adopt this kid? I mean, he was just so pleasant. Every one of his players have been like that.
You
it's a character.
You mentioned Donnie Jones earlier. Neil and Donnie were teammates together at Catholic High.
Really?
Now, Donnie would have been there at the tail end of when Neil was there, but these guys that all rubbed shoulders together, and now they're playing in the league. They're coaching with and against one another.
Yeah.
I love this idea about coaches collaborating, so I got to imagine people have started to come around LCA for some of that same type of mentorship, right?
We have. We've had a couple of guys that have come through, and it's kind of been an interesting transition, going from being the young coach, the young guy, the new guy, to where, this is our eighth year kind of heading up a program, and we're kind of, I guess, not one of the elder statesmen, but people are now starting to contact us and wanting to come and sit down with us and see some of the things that we do, and so it's been fun to kind of have some of those vertical relationships, so to speak.
Oh, man.
Ruffin, what I marvel at is the level of complexity of the strength coaches these days at the high school level, and you guys have a really, really good one at LCA too, so that could do so many things for these young athletes. But I know Reggie means so much to your program.
Absolutely. Coach Reggie Williams, interestingly enough, he actually trained me and prepared me for the combine and NFL draft and all of those things when I was coming out. And then during each of the off seasons, I'd go and train with him at Brule or at his facility in Port Allen. And years later, he actually is now my brother-in-law. He's married to my sister. and moved here to Lafayette, and he's been a huge part of the success that we've been having. Really, not only in football, but with the track program, with both of the basketball programs as well, because all of those kids spent some time with him in the weight room at some point or another.
Woo. Three straight state championships for those girls on the hardwood. Two for the boys. They're going for three this year.
How long has Scott High School been in existence?
The school has been there about 40 years.
Okay.
We've been in the LHSAA for 6 years.
Oh, wow.
We played in the Christian League prior to joining LHSAA about 6 years ago.
What a great story of transition. You know, him helping out with, like I said, my buddy Mark Hanna provided most of the equipment and stuff for Northside. And, you know, meeting those kids and seeing the you know, people out there to help them. And I heard they're still doing good. And you to move on to this program where you could take these kids, really talented, obviously. And that's the big thing, man. You want to play that's the hard part about this whole this mixed
split.
Well, yeah, I went to Thibodaux because it was a 5A school at the time, a 4A at the time, before changing 5A. I didn't go to E.D. White, which is, I think, 1A, because I wanted to play against better competition. Guys that were fast and strong, and Tommy Hodgson was right down the road in Central Lafourche, and it helped me out. If I didn't play at Thibodaux, I wouldn't have even got looked at. So I think we didn't have the camps they have today where the coaches can see them and basically have a combine in their own for the kids. We didn't have that. I'm kind of glad they didn't have that. They'd have saw me out of uniform.
Too much identification.
Yeah. But Trev is, you know, is like I said, this is a when kids stay in school, and right now what we're seeing is, you know, and it was totally LSU's fault to lose the running back from Jennings.
Travis Etienne.
That was the biggest, you know, one guy blames this guy. Whoever, LSU as a whole messed that whole thing up, and the kids have going to be a Heisman Trophy winner. Watch it.
Well, and look, it's not about blame, but I think the head coach at the time wasn't as keen on the kid, but Justin Vincent's told me time and again.
They still had a chance afterwards.
We had assistants that stood on the table and just demanded we need to have him.
Yeah.
But when you have this
really?
Agreement, yeah, there were people in the room.
Yeah, Les was a little hard-headed, and he really wanted the three-name kid. I love him, the little stocky.
Clyde Edwards. Yeah.
He wanted him. I said, but yeah, he could be a slot back or something. You know, go offer him the world, and they didn't. Anyway, but you hate seeing that, but you also hate seeing what they really want, like what's going on in A-Meet in West Monroe for a little while, and now A-Meet. You know, you get one every couple of years, and the rest of them are going to Bama and catching national championship touchdowns.
It will be Walker High School next. You could just take my word on that.
Walker?
And I'm not saying they're all going to Alabama, but just watch the names, Jalen Cook and then Brian Thomas. These are some of the best young athletes in the state.
Where are they?
Saban's been to Walker High School a number of times already.
Where's Walker High School?
Walker.
Are you talking about Walker in Denham Springs?
Uh-huh.
Right. Ooh, man.
5A school?
If they pull
big-time talent.
Yeah, if they pull some players out of the backyard like that. It just took one, I think. I think he just decommitted today.
Yeah, we haven't got to that yet. Jaqueline Roy, defensive lineman from U High, announced that he's decommitted and has not yet recommitted.
Which means he must go have fun in Hawaii or something. No? Okay. That's what I would do.
Hopefully.
Can I go on another trip, Coach? I'll come to LSU, but I don't want to go to Hawaii.
Y'all please back me on this because you both went through the process. I never approached that level of high school athleticism. There's no chance I would commit before my senior year. If I were a high school athlete in any sport, I mean, why do they do it when they're sophomores?
No,
I don't get that.
You get to meet college girls and go hang out, and you're treated like a star. I mean, I just went on small trips. I wasn't a big recruit, and nobody wanted to touch me because my dad was an All-American at LSU, so they was like, whatever.
Trevor went to Gainesville.
He went to Gainesville. That's fun.
That's a heck of a trip
that's
to go
fun.
On, huh?
I was going to try to go to Iowa. They were looking at me, and then the guy came in and saw my room. My bedroom, it was LSU wallpaper, dad stuff everywhere, and I'm like, oh, man, I forgot about that. Oops. You know, I mean, what are you supposed to do?
You can't tuck that away.
It's like my love for LSU was great. I just wanted to go have some fun. So I went to Nicholls State and UL and Northeast for my college trips. And then Northeast was cut short because this is back in the day now. I grew up in Thibodaux, which drinking hours didn't stop at all. And he said, yeah, bars closed at midnight. I'm like, it doesn't sound like it's the place for me. I'm from Thibodeau. That's what we do.
Johnny Manziel got in trouble there before midnight.
But I had,
you can find a way.
But I've, March 22nd, 4 years, not a sip. I'm good. I can still have just as much fun. But the only problem is I want to dance more. It's crazy. My brain went the other way.
That happens here, right?
Yeah. Okay. I dance on the table tonight.
Okay.
Draw a bar. I'm crazy.
We're going to have a good time tonight.
Drinking sparkling water.
We've been having a good time with Coach Trev Falk. I know he's got somewhere to be. Coach, thank you for doing this. Hey, we come back here on a Friday. We need to get you back.
Yes, sir.
One last story from Trev, right? We got time?
Absolutely.
You got to tell us that, you know, everybody knows your relationship with Brady. You got to have a story, a funny story with you and Brady. And because Brady's like me. He can out-talk a, I don't know what kind of animal talks, but anybody.
Sports talk radio host.
But you got to get have a classic story about your boy Brady, huh?
Let me see what I can will be airtime appropriate. You know what I'm saying? not really anything, I guess, that I could.
Any game stories?
Yeah, not really anything too outrageous or really anything out there. Too
yeah, friendship. Yeah. But y'all had a friendship that it was so polarizing from the outside because of the smiles, and y'all look like twins. And y'all did together. That's hard to find when you first go to college and you find that. That's a special notch.
Absolutely. And the weird thing is, prior to us meeting on our recruiting trip, we had only heard about each other. We'd never actually met or interacted or spoken before then. And, you know, Brady would say the same thing. When we met and started hanging out, it was almost like a long-lost brother, you know. And after that
sounds like Odell and Jarvis.
Yeah, it was pretty much everywhere I was, he was. Everywhere he was, I was. And, it was a special thing, special time.
One thing they need to either video or whatever is when, and I've seen these two once do it, but you have your old teammates you had seen a while and you embrace. But to watch Odell and Jarvis when they haven't seen each other in a couple few months in their meeting, I was like, all right, get a room. You know, I mean, I've never seen two men respect and love each other's friendship.
And I don't think they came in necessarily that way. I covered the recruitment of both of those guys. They knew each other, certainly. Lutcher, New Orleans, not that far, but Jarvis was the five-star. Jarvis was the known entity along with Anthony Johnson.
Yeah, but after that first
along
practice.
Lyle Collins, but everybody knew about Odell.
Kelvin Shepard came in. Kelvin was my favorite. He came in the restaurant. He said, wait till you see this boy from New Orleans. Odell. I said, I played with Odell's dad. And
well, the mom's the real athlete, right?
Heather. I used to stretch with Heather. I used to go to the track because they had the best stretch coach, and I was
Heather tight. Norman.
Heather yeah. Norman, Van Norman.
Yes, thank you.
And I would stretch with her and Amy Zeno and some of the girls, and we'd sit there talking, and then one day I saw her a little bump. I went, who's that for?
Odell, now the little bump like, catches one-handed touchdowns
first,
over his head.
First thing I said is, can I, I don't approve of the marriage. I said, but I love Odell to death, but I do want the first contract to this kid, if it's a boy or a girl, and look at him, and he's a sweetheart.
There's one other player that I had that moment with where I was told from the outside, y'all have no idea, Patrick Peterson. We're going into cover fall camp. Well, no, it wasn't Patrick, but we're going into cover fall camp. Peterson, it was his junior year. He was established, and he said, y'all have no idea about this kid, number 12. He went on to wear 14 that year. The year after that, he wore 7. His name was Tyron Matthew. He said, y'all have no idea about number 12. No idea.
That's the same heads that Odell was turning that summer in 7-on-7. They're like, nobody can cover him. I'm like, that's good to know. Are we going to play him? You know, it's less. Still less. You know, I don't know. He did. I don't know which less, my boy. But anyway, the friendships were those were important. You know, I had it with Tommy Hodson, my roommate, and Eric Anosek, and had so many great friendships with roommates. And people don't know what you go through off the field. And we had to be in dorms back then, so we had to live together and bleed together. So that's awesome, man.
We got to hit a quick recess, Coach. You know we appreciate the time. He's got to go watch another high-level basketball game.
Good luck to him, man. Let's get him.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We're going to be back in, rough and sticking around. We got time for you if you want to call in, 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live at Ravino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
we're going back to our regular show. All right,
this is Acadiana's number one sports station,
and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Back in, short segment. Yeah, I'll carry the water, get us to 5:30, and then Ruff and Rodrigue will join us again, as will James Moran, editor of Tiger Rag Magazine. We'll get a full preview, LSU-Texas baseball. Glad to have you here on a Friday, taking you home and into your Mardi Gras weekend. Let me give you some particulars. What's going on tonight? The local teams you care about. Number one, LSU at number 18, Texas. The same Longhorns team that took 2 out of 3 from the Raging Cajuns to start the season. 6:30 first pitch. Horns lead the all-time series 22-12-1. As I mentioned earlier, a combined 12 national championships for the Tigers and the Horns. 6 apiece for LSU. It'll be Hess tonight, Marceau tomorrow, and Eric Walker, the Lone Star native, on Sunday. For Texas, 3 right-handed pitchers. A sophomore righty going tonight. Bryce Elder, the ace of the staff. 1-0 in the season, .64 ERA, about 15 Ks to 3 walks so far in this young campaign. Tomorrow, it's going to be junior righty Blair Henley, and Sunday, freshman right-hander Coy Cobb. As for the Raging Cajuns, 1-6 on the year. They've lost 4 straight, but they get back to the Teague for the first time in 5 games tonight. And they're going to have a 3-game set with 5-2 Maryland. Terps have won 5 in a row. Competition level not terribly stiff. They just recently swept Maine, and so you got to imagine this is an opportunity for the Cajuns to scratch 1, 2, maybe even 3 across in the win column. There is no more Sunday game, so that some of your news of the day. The Cajuns will play tonight, 6:30 first pitch. Gunnar Leje taking the mound, and they've moved the Sunday game to a doubleheader on Saturday. So tomorrow, Teague Moore Field at Russo Park. First pitch for Game 1 is 2 p.m., 30 minutes after the first one's done, they'll play Game 2. And what's interesting, tonight will be the first ever meeting between these two programs. For the Cajuns, it'll be Leje tonight, Horton starting Game 2 at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and Sunday currently TBA. Have to imagine Austin Perrin's going to get a look after a strong start last weekend at Sam Houston State. On the other side of things, a lot like LSU, Cajuns are going to be looking at 3 righties throwing down the mound. Tonight, senior righty Hunter Parsons. Tomorrow, it's going to be junior righty Zach Thompson. And then a freshman righty in the second game on Saturday, Trevor Labonte. So we've got LSU baseball, and we'll be airing it right here on Acadiana Sports Station as soon as we're done. I will make a quick correction. That STM David Thibodeau quarterfinal game in Division II, we're still going to carry it on our sister station, but I was an hour premature. 6:45 is going to be the pregame show. 7 o'clock, the tip-off. You want to blame somebody? Dave Schultz would be a pretty good candidate there. So STM David Thibodeau, can't believe Danny Broussard didn't call my show and give a correction. It's not sports chat, so he doesn't call. All right, coach. But it will be STM David Thibodeau, 7 p.m. tip-off, 6:45 pregame show from the Cougar Dome, and you'll hear it. Danny Jones, Stephen Strony will have the call on the rewind. 97.7 FM, 1330 AM here in Lafayette. And then 104.1 Oak Grove, Lake Charles. One other big news tidbit, if you will, of the day. And we mentioned it with Trev and Ruffin on the other side. But LSU has the number one recruiting class in the nation so far in 2020. It did take a bit of a hit today. Jaquelin Roy, who just recently got bumped up by 247, I believe the number 2 defensive tackle in the country. He plays at U-High in Baton Rouge, and he announced that he's opening up his recruitment. So he hasn't gone somewhere else, but he currently is decommitted from LSU. We'll have more eyes on that, and we'll have plenty more on the other side of this break, including a full LSU-Texas breakdown with the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, James Moran. And don't forget, 6 o'clock, it's going to be a lot of fun. Billy Napier, head coach of the UL Raging Cajun football team, and he loves the River Ranch area. So, of course, he's got to join us at Rufino's on the River. Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
You
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
It was Bad Company. Now it's Lynyrd Skynyrd. Ruffin, we're not bad here.
We're hitting the 70s rock trail.
The vinyl trail.
I love it. I love it.
Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. And look, here's the drill. You and I have been carrying the water so far. Not doing a bad job. But I've got an opportunity to sit down with James Moran. We'll get a full preview of LSU baseball here. So you and I, we'll go hit the bar circuit real quick. I'm seeing a lot of people with the Mardi Gras colors on.
Mardi Gras balls are here coming in Rufino's on the river. It's wow, some of these gowns, man.
It's a well-dressed crowd.
Yeah, I would say they're they must have gone to Park Lane.
There you go.
That's beautiful.
I'm seeing the all-white suit that just walked in. Yeah, these people have come in decked out. So Ruffin and I, we're going to take a powder. We're going to go meet some of them, and you can listen to a conversation I had with James Moran.
All right, it is time now to bring on the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, James Moran. Every Friday, he takes you inside the On Deck Circle huge weekend series. LSU going to play 3 at the Texas Longhorns in Austin. James, how's it going as we're getting ready for a Mardi Gras weekend? How goes it in BR?
Oh, it goes well, Ben. It goes well. Not in Austin, but I think I can find something to do around here in the meantime.
Never a dull moment with LSU sports and with this pitching staff for Paul Maneri, Alan Dunn. Unfortunately, it hasn't been dull to start this season either. Are you concerned with the overall, I guess, stacking up of fatigued arms? It was Zach Hess. It was Eric Walker preseason. Now, all of a sudden, it's Jaden Hill. Is this something that is alarming to you long term?
No, and all those aren't really related. I mean, Zach Hess was a groin issue, not an arm issue. Walker was really just kind of routine stuff coming back from Tommy John, so I wouldn't be too worried about those guys. I think they're both healthy, but Mikhail Hilliard, it was good to see him back out there. Now Jaden Hill's gone down. Part of it is I just think that's baseball now. I mean, these pitchers have sore arms and you just have to be so careful with them, and that's just kind of the way it goes. But it definitely is concerning. I mean, you never know when it's going to crop up, and LSU's in a little bit of a better spot than most teams, I think, because of just the depth they have. I mean, most teams, if they lose a weekend starter who's pitched as well as Jaden Hill has, they don't have a guy like Eric Walker that can just step right in and take the spot. So is it concerning? Yeah, but I don't really know if there's anything they can do about it. I just think that's kind of the nature of the beast in baseball, and in particular college baseball today.
James, when it comes to Eric Walker, all right, we know he's going to pitch this Sunday. Is it their long-term plan for Alan Dunn and Paul Maneri to get him back into that spot, or are they willing to let this play out with Jaden Hill and maybe they don't have preconceived notions there?
I think their preference was always for him to go back to being the Sunday starter. Now, if he doesn't pitch well and Jaden Hill comes back and he's pitching the way he was before this little break they're giving him, then who knows? Maybe it could end up being Hill there on a more permanent basis. Maybe Walker's in a midweek role or something like that. But I think they always planned on going back to Walker in this spot in some time period, but I don't think they had any preconceived notions of when. I mean, I think if Hill would have strung together 4 gems leading into SEC play, he would have got the start that Sunday at Kentucky. But now that he's banged up, it kind of opens the door for Walker, and I think what you got to like about Walker is he's so reliable. I mean, he's only probably going to be able to give you 4 innings this time out because he just hasn't been on the mound enough to build up innings because of these rainouts that have to keep postponing his starts. And now, obviously, he couldn't have a full start this time because they knew he was going to need to fill in for Hill. But I think you like Walker in this spot for a couple of reasons. One, he's a veteran. You feel good about him pitching in a hostile environment, especially one that he's familiar with. He's been in Texas. He's pitched in state playoff games and travel ball games in Texas's field. So he's comfortable, more comfortable there than most. And two, it's basically a graveyard. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Ben, but it is a ballpark where offense goes to die. I mean, the infield is artificial and about as slow as it gets. The outfield is huge. The walls are pretty big on top of that. So it's a ballpark where you want someone who's going to go in there and throw strikes and pitch the contact and let his defense work, and that's Eric Walker.
We continue our chat with James Moran, the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, and this is the On Deck Circle portion of Bumper to Bumper Sports as we continue live from Rufino's on the River. All right, let's get to the Friday night starter. Tonight, it's going to be Zach Hess. If you could grade out week one to week two, some of the mechanical improvements he wanted to make, how effectively did he make them in your opinion?
The reason we were giving for why he struggled so much in week one was that he wasn't using enough of a leg kick. It meant he was kind of getting ahead of his arm, and the arm was kind of dragging through the zone, which, you know, I'm not trying to go inside baseball on here, but when you do that, it's awfully difficult to have any control or feel for your breaking ball and your changeup. Well, judging by the fact that he had both those pitches available to him last time out, I'm pretty sure the mechanical flaw got corrected. Now, you'd still like to see him be able to go deeper in these games. I mean, we're still seeing some issues with him having too many long counts, too much of a big pitch count. So I wouldn't say the last start was an A or anything extravagant like that, but it was more in the right direction of what you want to see from him. Now, this game, you'd like to see him attack and be, you know, throw a lot of strikes. It seems really simple and really stating the obvious here, but with Zach Hess, it's all about strike one and pitching from ahead. Because if he can get ahead and he can go high fastball and mix in the curveball and the slider in the dirt and the nasty back leg slider lefties, he's really tough to hit and he can strike out a lot of batters. I mean, facing a better version of this Texas team last year, I think he struck out 12 in 6 innings. So when he's on, he's nasty. And you just want to see him be more consistent with getting ahead. You want to see him be more consistent with using that changeup, which was really, I thought, the difference maker for him last week, is that he was able to throw that changeup when he did get in some bad counts and kind of keep hitters off the fastball a little bit. But I'm curious to see how he fares, because it's kind of a week-to-week experience with him. You know, you just don't know if you're going to get the guy that's dominant over 6 or 7 innings or the guy that, you know, has a hard time getting through 5.
James, I'm glad you referenced earlier the fact that Austin really has a ballpark that is cavernous and offense kind of dies out there. Bearing that in mind, as we shift over to LSU's everyday players, who is this weekend important for at the dish? Some guys that are trying to solidify spots and then help to really solidify LSU's overall lineup.
That's an interesting question. I don't think you can go with any of the 4 guys at the top because they've been so good that you just want them to keep doing what they're doing, right? I mean, Josh Smith has been everything LSU needed him to be from a leadoff hitter. I mean, imagine this, Ben. So LSU, they've played 8 games. They've scored 26 first-inning runs. And they've done that because these top 4 guys in this lineup are just killing it. I mean, Josh Smith has gotten on base and scored in the first inning 7 of the 8 games. So that's how you get on top of people. He's been great. Antoine Duplantis has driven in 23 runs in his first 8 games. I mean, Zach Watson's been red hot since they moved him into that 2-hole. And Daniel Cabrera is probably the best hitter of the bunch in terms of, you know, power, patience, all that kind of stuff put together. So I'll kind of go in a different direction because I think all 4 of those guys, obviously, they're the straws that stir the drink. The guy I think has a real opportunity this weekend is Cade Beloso. He's really been obviously the most impressive first baseman. I mean, he's hit 2 home runs. Obviously, the walk-off in his debut was the kind of moment you don't forget. You want to see him not just in the offensively against 3 right-handed pitchers, but defensively, you want to see him really keep taking hold of that position. Gavin Dugas, who really looked like he was about to become the right-handed part of that platoon, he's now going to miss, it looks like, 8 weeks. He's going to have thumb surgery, tore a ligament sliding into a base the other day. Drew Bianco has kind of struggled recently. I don't think they're giving up on him by any stretch, but maybe you could see him or a guy like Saul Garza play against the lefty sometime down the road. But I think this weekend in particular, facing 3 right-handed pitchers, I want to see Beloso. I think he's got a chance to really take this job by the throat and run with it. He's kind of started to do that already, but it seems like this is a chance for him to really take the job overall his own.
Wrapping up now with James Moran on Twitter at Smartest Moran, and he's the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine. So realistic expectations. This Texas team lost the dynamite shortstop last year, 2 out of its top 3 weekend rotation guys. You know that LSU's hot from the dish. They haven't exactly been as consistent from the mound. Add it all up. Do you expect this is a series LSU could take 2 out of 3 on the road?
Yeah, I don't think it's like a lock they take 2 out of 3. I mean, I think it's going to come down a lot to how Zach Hess pitches on Friday night, because Texas's ace, Bryce Elders, has actually pitched very well his first 2 times out. I think LSU's better than Texas, but I'm curious to see how some of these young guys do their first time on the road. You'll remember LSU's only road game to this point got postponed at Northwestern State. So I'm kind of curious how they handle this environment. I don't want to make too much of it, whether it goes well or goes poorly, because, look, I say this all the time, but the SEC play is really all that matters when you get right down to it. But this is an interesting measuring stick, in my opinion, of where LSU is a couple weeks out of SEC play, because this Texas team, they pitch well, they field well. Look, LSU scored a million runs off other teams' errors and walks at this point. This is going to be a three-game series where I think LSU is going to have to earn it if they're going to win two out of three. And I'm curious if this team, young team going on the road for the first time, is able to do that.
Hey, a quick follow-up, because the idea that Paul Mainieri might have been the coach of the Texas Longhorns, I don't know that that nearly came to fruition, but I'd love to get your remembrance of those events. Was that just something that was a passing fancy?
It was very real. I mean, Texas, if LSU didn't pony up, get the checkbook out, and make some real promises about facility upgrades, building an analytics department, that batting cage / locker room they're building out in right field, that was part of the agreement with Paul Mainieri to stay. He basically Texas offered him the moon to come if he was willing to come, and Paul didn't. He didn't really want to go. I mean, he said, I think Texas wasn't his dream job. I think LSU was always his dream job, but he did need certain things in order to stay here, and that was a raise. That was a more raise in security for members of his staff. There was an analytics department to kind of catch up with some of the other things teams are doing around the league. And, credit to Joe Oliva and LSU, they were willing to do what it took to keep him. And I think they've been rewarded with a program that's pretty much a contender just about every year, if not every other year, to go to Omaha and compete for a championship.
Take a bow, my friend. Day-to-day coverage and big picture when it comes to LSU sports, in particular LSU baseball. It's James Moran, Tiger Ag Magazine. James, thanks for the time. Happy Mardi Gras, my friend.
No problem, Ben. Happy Mardi Gras to you too, buddy.
Really do appreciate James and the different levels of insight. Don't forget, Bumper to Bumper Sports taking you right up today until the first pitch. LSU at Texas, game one, and that first pitch will be at 6:30. That means we've got about an hour and 15 minutes left to have some fun, and boy, are we doing that. Live from Rufino's on the River, we'll be right back in. Ruff and Rodriguez and plenty more. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
See, Clint, now you're going to just get me in trouble with Ruffin. That's what you're doing. He already said we've got the 70s vinyl tour going on. And
Rush is about as vinyl as you can get.
We're setting the mood here at Rufino's on the River.
Neil Peart.
And I got to tell you, Ruffin, I know this place on Friday night gets packed out, especially I know there's going to be a wedding rehearsal party that's going to be out on the patio tonight. We're seeing a lot of Mardi Gras people.
Yeah, the crew of Xanadu.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, but they told me Olivia Newton-John won't be making it this year.
But the bar area, rolling tonight, brother. It's always a great time here.
Yeah.
You say it's the best bar seen in Louisiana, especially attached to a restaurant. I'd have to agree.
You know, if this was on the river and you had a bustling tourist you couldn't. This place is so beautiful. But what I like about it is it keeps it clean. It keeps it the River Ranch people, the people of Lafayette who love to come and visit. And look at the landscape and have their kids running up and down the hills with the outdoor patio with the glass. You can see the beautiful river. It's fun because I hear my Lafayette friends say, I love going there and showing it off to my out-of-town friends. And that's a big, big deal when you're dealing with impressing your friends. So bring your friends out here. You impress them.
We've already had Trev Falk here in person. And here we go, getting a text from Billy Napier, en route. So we have head coach of the Raging Cajuns be here at 6 o'clock.
I'm going to say he's en route walking down that because his house is, I can see his house right now. He's right there.
I love it. Ruffer, we're going to kind of indoctrinate you into another one of our daily traditions. Every day, we throw a little bit of shade. Usually it's in jest. Before I pick today's target, a quick reminder, no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
To pick this new NCAA rule, Ruffin, the idea that once you get to overtime five, which feels like it never happens, although it did to LSU this year, they're going to swap two-point conversions instead of continuing to play football from the 25-yard line. I think that's so heavily slanted to the teams that want to throw that if you're a run-heavy team, as LSU has been in so many years past, boy, I feel like coming down to one play just to speed the game up. Do you like it?
Well, it's on the, what, two-yard line?
I think, yeah, two and a half or three.
Two and a half, three. They have so many trick plays and different things they run. Those plays are pretty easy to execute. That's why they do some. That's why they're able to execute so well. They practice a ton of them. And you can ask Billy when he gets here. They have 50 plays just for that those situations.
A game ender.
Yeah. So what you're going to need is a miracle play like what happened against the Falcons and the Patriots, or the Seahawks and the Patriots. Somebody making a play.
Yes.
And something will happen where it'll quicken the game up. But yeah, I agree with it.
Now the other thing that's throwing a lot of shade is what you just made reference to, and that's this patio that you got out here right now. Where it's come, I'd love for you to go there. I mean, the direction in that area over the last 2 years here.
Well, when we got here, you know, obviously Donald Lane, my buddy from Kushan, who just couldn't make it, his concept worked here. We bought it, and he had half of it was metal, and then the rest of the balcony was just pure air. And I understand that concept, but we are in South Louisiana, and the wind and rain, and it gets cold here, and it gets hot here, and it just leaves and blowing dust. And I'm like, we got to have some kind of inclusion and be able to. And I looked everywhere for doors that open and close, and they had sliding doors, and it would take up space. And then for some reason, this guy called me, and they have this new product from Sweden. And if you come out here and look at it, it's these flat panel, beautiful glass doors that slide down to where you can open it up and look at the outside. Look at the outside, the beauty. In my opinion, as pretty a view of anywhere in the state as far as cities and restaurants and all that. I don't know where you can find a better view than this. Very serene, and the beautiful houses across the street.
Ruffin said it perfectly. CD, I think we can roll with it. That's enough shade.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit patiocenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
All right, partner. We got about 2 minutes left in this hour, and in 30 minutes from 6 to 6:30. As much of that time as we have Billy Napier, obviously he'll sit to your right. I'm very much looking forward to that. I know that you continue to be one of the people at the front of the wagon says you need to come jump on because this program is going places.
It's going places. When I met Billy here, his first night was they came to Ruffino's, and thanks to the administration for bringing him here. But he, right off the bat, we knew so many. We had so many cut ties. Obviously, our tie with Nick Saban, our ties with Rob Sale, and he just got it. Remind me a lot of Jimbo Fisher. When I first met Jimbo, the personality, man, I said, this guy will be able to recruit. It's not only recruiting players, it's got to be able to recruit coaches. And that's what people have to realize, is that's the hardest part is putting a staff together that you can trust to work hard and to get along and all that. That's the most.
And keeping them, re-recruiting.
And keeping them. And I know Nick goes through a lot of that process, but he already has the process in, so he's just inserting them. This is a different deal. This is an upcoming program where he had to get some guys that bought into a system. And when I went to that Cajun Day last year, and I got to see all the coaches, talked to a couple of the coaches' wives from the background, they're so excited. You know, Jabbar's here. Rob Sale was the biggest. I mean, he what he's doing in North Louisiana is going to be amazing.
We're going to pick up right where we left off. He's Ruff, and I'm Ben, and you're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the 237.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Firing off the line and into hour number three. I'm Ben Love, and you're listening to Bumper Sports live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. I'll be joined here by Ruff and Rodri and Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns here shortly. I got to thank my friend, the famous Clint D. He's been doing a bang-up job today for 2 hours. We got 30 more minutes to go. Clint's inside the 237 Roof Studios. There's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. LSU baseball coming up on the other side of us. They're going to be at number 18, Texas. And Ruffin is just taking a seat next to me. I know our man's on his way, and he's been busy, but he's texting diligently.
We got a good welcoming crew up there. So we got some pretty girls, and you got Scott. Is it Scott? Yeah, I just met. The morning guy.
Yes. Oh, no, Dave Schultz.
Dave Schultz. He's up there. He wants to bring him down. I said, come on down then. Because the funny part is that Billy actually walks from his house, which is right there, where you can see. He walks down. He's going to come through the back door.
So. Okay, so he's not parking here. In which case, he would get he'd get the golf cart service if he did, right?
Yeah. Well, when we get the golf cart back,
what'd you do with the
another story? Batteries.
Okay.
Long story. I don't know.
Nothing about going over the median on Camellia or anything.
No. That was my old days. The good stuff.
Well, okay. So we left off, and before Billy joins us, on the arc of this program, the importance of hiring and keeping great assistants.
Woo.
Tell me some more there.
Man, you build a relationship with them, and you know, their promises, their contract. What really messed it up was agents. It really glorified it because now they're paid so high, but the agents also get involved, and there's a lot of shuffling, and it's a big business.
Does it ever blow your mind that Dave Aranda makes $2.5 million, for example?
Yeah, I mean, look at when LSU produced that list and you had girls in the some girls high up, presidents of different deals, and they're at $400,000. And then what really blew my mind was my coach, Mike Archer. I can remember his top salary was $120,000.
Wow.
They had some benefits on top of that if you met him and all that, but I think he ended up making 180. But
for reference, I think Dabo just made about 800,000 as a bonus for winning the national championship.
Yeah, Nick changed the game when Richard Gill got him out of Michigan State and he came here. He was the first $1 million coach.
I still remember the salary, $1.2 million in the year 2000, and a lot of people nationwide laughed at LSU, said you can't pay a coach that.
Yeah, he did it, and then he went even bigger and better and learned a lot of things. And, you know, I loved it because I got to be good friends with Nick. And still am. I don't really like a lot of the way he beats up on. He's just such a competitor, man. He's crazy. But he truly still does love LSU, I know for a fact he wished it would have worked out the way he was still coach here. But he made a decision. He couldn't come back, and that's just the way it happens.
And now the game has become, shall we say, somewhat personal to him.
It's become very personal to him because all of his friends here and family and the whole deal, and now that Les is gone, it's a little more competitive. And we welcome.
And how about this?
What's up, buddy?
We got Billy Napier.
Billy.
Head coach of the Raging Cajuns. Good enough to join us.
We were blowing you up, man.
He took a little detour from his home, right? He caught the golf cart over here, and
I think it's, yeah.
Now we got him putting the headset on, sitting down at Rufino's on the river. Coach, I know it's been a busy day. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Been a great day, man. We tell you what, we moved the off-season program up today for Mardi Gras. Cut the guys loose a couple hours early, you know, so been a good day. We're spring ball's right around the corner. So our guys going to take a five-day break here, come back on Wednesday evening. And
I love it.
Three more kind of identity program days, and then we'll start on March the 12th, Tuesday. So
I don't know if you know this, but arguably the biggest fan of your program is sitting in between you and I right now.
That's my guy right here.
And, you know, I told him the story about my, you know, I was 8 years old, and my uncle, G.A., was a captain in 73-74. It was the Bulldogs then, and then they changed mid-term. You know, right. When he was a sophomore, they changed it to Raging Cajuns. But my dad would bring me to every game.
Right.
So my first recollection of football was in Cajun Stadium. My first autograph in the locker room, my uncle told me, he said, go get an autograph from that guy right there with the mustache. He'll be famous. It was Rafael Septian.
Yeah.
And that was my first autograph. So, yeah. Hardest thing I ever had to do was tell Coach Sam Robertson that I got a scholarship offered to LSU.
Ooh.
And he understood, but, you know, I still wanted to play for him. But it worked out bad. It worked out good for me. But I would, if it wasn't there, I'd have played here. All my friends played here. And
well, I think, you know, I've been very impressed with, you know, just in general, Lafayette's a tremendous place to live. You know, I think you hear that from the outside, you know, and I think you, after having been here a year, I've got a greater appreciation for that. Not only the, quality of life here, because there is, you know, it isn't too big, but there's a ton to do, but it's really about the people. Mm-hmm. You know, the hospitality, the uniqueness of the culture here, and certainly I love it, man. Allie, my wife, is she's convinced it's the best place we've ever lived, and we've lived some good places, and kids are happy, you know, and happy wife, happy life.
And see, so Ben, I hate to take you.
No, go ahead.
You're good at this, but this, and I told this.
The less I talk, the better this segment's going
to
be.
I told this to Billy, you know, and the thing is, I was shocked at the time I came was the so-called rivalry between LSU. And I know Skip Bergman, baseball had started more than anything. Football, they've never had a problem. But just the rivalry, I'm like, we should be supporting each other. I know I've always supported both. I don't, and Billy took that. When he came here, that's not his intent, you know, intent to worry about LSU. LSU's got their own problems with his old boss. Nick's going to be a pretty big mountain to climb. But this is an opportunity for UL to really blossom after a season where they just got better and better and better and better, and getting those fans in the stadium, getting packed in New Orleans for Mississippi State, all those things we talk about, start winning football games.
Well, Coach, you tell me if I'm right or I'm wrong here, but I've heard the same thing for Dr. Brian Maggard. We're not worried about what's going on down I-10. We know it's capable here, and the growth potential, obviously, you're starting to see it and build upon it.
Well, I think, you know, certainly we both have our battles, you know, and they're completely different. Certainly the SEC West is as competitive as it gets. You know, certainly Alabama's success has been recognized, but, you know, certainly getting competitive with Jimbo being over at A&M and, you know, those other teams. Mississippi State had a terrific team last year. Auburn always very competitive. New coaches at Arkansas. You know, and LSU has to play Florida every year. And certainly with Coach Mullen making that move, it's a very competitive division.
Yeah.
So we've got our battles, you know. Certainly we're rebuilding and reestablishing that pride associated with Raging Cajun football, and you know, not only how we play, but the character and the way our young men go about their business. I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do. But great year one, certainly lots to be excited about and happy with. But we're not satisfied with where we're at. You know, we certainly made progress on the field. I think we grew. I think our young people grew. I think we started to develop a little bit of ownership. And I'll say this, we're probably 7 weeks into the offseason. I've been very impressed with the players. I've been very impressed with the attitude and the approach. And we've got administrative support. You know, Dr. Savoy, Dr. Maggard have been great. It's a very capable place here. You know, the more you learn, the more excited you get. I've got more conviction than I had a year ago relative to what we can accomplish here.
You know, the other thing you got rough and fired up about is that opener in New Orleans against Mississippi State. We spent about 5 minutes on that earlier, but the opportunity to pack out the dome.
The fun part is LSU doesn't have Texas till the next week. So, and I think LSU plays like Georgia Southern, right? Opens up with Georgia Southern, I think, or something like that.
Right.
And
stretch me, I don't know.
I can tell you, I missed a couple of home openers, but I'm not going to miss the NOLA trip.
That's the point. This is a landmark game, I think.
We got to get everybody. As much as it hurts sales here, it doesn't matter, man. Bring and pack the dome. I know it's hard. It's a big stadium, but we can do it.
People will be off on Monday. It's Labor Day weekend. Go spend a weekend in New Orleans. Watch the Cajuns.
They have a new coach.
Right. I think it's going to be a 4 o'clock kick, too. So, you know, you can plan either way. You can go down the day before, enjoy New Orleans the night before, be there for tailgating, or go up the day of the game and spend the night after the game. So
you're going to have to play Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
I know Caton's good, but Fitzgerald was tough, man.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I think they've got, what, 9 guys at the combine. You know, so that's a very talented team. 29 seniors.
Entire defensive line.
Number one defense in the country, scoring defense and total defense this year.
I thought LSU's offensive line played their best game against Mississippi State, because they watching them, and then when, you know, against Alabama, they got obliterated. But coming off the ball and watching against Mississippi State, I was like, man, they're supposed to be good, and we're getting some right. pop. But they're tough.
Yeah, they were talented, very talented. Big, fast, long team. And, you know, certainly we were in the very early stages there. But, you know, I'm excited about the group of players we've got returning. You know, another year in the offseason, another year in our systems. We've started at a whole new place. You know, we're in terrific condition, and we've improved from a mental toughness standpoint. We know each other. I mean, we've been fortunate to keep the staff together. And it's been, hey, I'll be honest with you, I didn't sleep a lot, you know, this offseason. We had several coaches get opportunities, not only in the SEC, but, you know, ACC and National Football League. You know, and we were able to keep them. They stayed at home, and I think that's a tribute to what we got going on over there.
So why don't we do this? I want to make sure we make the best use of our time. I got one more question for you. We'll hit a break. Let's talk schedule in the next year.
Yeah.
What keeps them here?
Well, I think it's consistency, quality of life. You know, I think we've got a great plan. I think we've got a group of guys that really gets along, works well together. Certainly, the way I say it is, a foxhole guys only. You know, guys that really, you know, they're going to do their best each and every day. Very professional approach. And, you know, I think, just in my opinion, I try to do a good job of defining the expectation. You know, we get after it, don't get me wrong, but we're not grinding them up day in and day out. Really tell them when they're off, and I think their families appreciate that. And I think we made some noise.
That means
year.
A lot, man. Keep the wife happy.
Right. And, you know, that's one thing I appreciate about working for Nick. You know, when we worked. You know, but you knew when you were going to be off. Once you kind of got a feel for the routine, you manage your time well.
He's changed over time.
He has.
When he started at LSU, man, Coach Jenkins said, "Rob, I can't do this."
Yeah,
he had one
true.
Year, and he said, "I love you, Nick, but you one week off a year and just." But that's
well,
how he's, he
right
when he's developing the process.
Absolutely.
Now he has it,
and I think he's learned. Certainly, you know, you look at. Still battling that turnover bug a little bit, you know, in terms of attrition on his staff. But I think it's just a product of the success he's had.
Yeah,
you know?
Guys want him.
Right.
Man.
They go there basically trying to get that stamp, you know. I think when he was early on, it was just more about, hey, we're going to Bama to build something special here. A lot of young guys.
When I talk about Billy in Baton Rouge and wherever I am, I talk about this guy's going to be – they're like, what's his? I'm like, he's a Saban disciple. They're like, all right, it's all, enough said.
Right. I'll tell you probably.
With an offensive mind.
Yeah, 75-80% of what we do in terms of how we're put together, how we practice, how we train, how we meet. I think Coach gets, oftentimes it gets overlooked how good of a teacher he is. And now being in the head coach seat, you know, I see a lot of that wisdom, you know, in terms of some of those things you maybe didn't quite get when you were an assistant working for him.
Well, I would say this, too. It's like one of my best friends, Todd Graves. If he wasn't a billionaire with the Raising Cane's, he would be a billionaire somewhere else. Just because I know him. I
the
know
mindset,
his mindset,
the approach.
Nick Saban was a coach of college football. He'd be a billionaire in a company.
Yeah, for sure.
They just have different thought processes, the way they cut through clutter, the way they can do things. And they're systematic. It's crazy, but it's something you – hey, one of the biggest things for Lenny Lemoine company, you can ask Lenny, was Nick helping him out with the structure of his organization.
Wow.
And now they're blowing up. I mean, he's really, really, really fantastic business mind and just a motivator, leader. He's a natural-born leader.
Let's hit a quick recess. Clint, fly through this bad boy, warp speed. I want to get back to this. Ben Love alongside Ruffin Rodriguez and Billy Napier. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
All right, the Montel Jordan's playing. That means it's our final segment of the show. We got great guests right now. Ben Love alongside Billy Napier, Ruffin Rodriguez. One more time. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And let's just pick up where he left off in the break. He was talking about recruiting and the importance of it.
And the big thing with recruiting is when I went to the bash last year, and I knew Jabbar from LSU, and obviously Rob Sale and I have been friends for a long time. And Billy and I talked about his first night here with Rob and his genius in North Louisiana. And the one I said this not long ago, I think it was an Alabama station was talking about Rob Sale or something. Rob Sale has maybe the best eye for high school offensive lineman talent I've ever been around. He would tell me LSU's class, he'd be like 3 years, four. He knew exactly who would be Trey Turner. He said he'll leave early. I'm like, that guy with the
so that's probably a good thing they redshirted him then, right?
Rob knew exactly. And Rob was over at Alabama, but some guys have a knack for looking at feet and looking at character and looking at different things. Rob's that guy.
And what coaches told me about Rob is he has such reliable boots on the ground, and the coaches, they shoot him straight. So they help him, I guess, with that intuition, right? Yeah,
no question. I mean, Rob's probably, he and I met each other back in 2011. You know, we stayed in touch throughout those years. Certainly, even when I was at Alabama, he's working at McNeese, he's working at ULM, he's working at Georgia, and I'm recruiting North Louisiana, I'm recruiting throughout this state. But he was a huge help to me, because of his relationships up there, and he'd give me information. And I had an opportunity at Arizona State to bring my own offensive line guy with me, and we just been in those trenches together here for 2 years, and he's a tremendous friend and a great guy. Can have conversations with him maybe you don't have with all the assistant coaches just because we've been through the battles together. But, he's played for Saban, worked for Saban. He and I we think the same way. And certainly the way I would say it is, we can get things done offensively in 20 minutes that maybe it would take some people 2 hours.
Yeah,
just because we speak the same.
That's hard to do.
Lingo and understand.
And Jabbar's influence in New Orleans, how much does that help?
Well, it was huge. Jabbar not only, I think it gets overlooked sometimes, it's not only New Orleans, but it's Southern University. It's the relationships. It's his fraternity. It's the people throughout the state. You think about Katrina, you think about relocation, it's relationships throughout the entire state. We put our staff together to recruit the 6-hour radius, the footprint that it's going to take for us to be successful. Mike Desimo and Tim Leger are two guys that are, have great connections.
The way they talk about Coach Desimo, especially south of Lafayette, I mean, just revered.
Yeah.
Right. And Dez and Tim, they carried a big load. They have a tremendous, Dez, Tim, Jabbar, the way we do it, the two coordinators don't have any area.
Yeah.
So we've got eight guys that basically spread out the state, and all recruiting areas. And then Rob evaluates 24/7, 365. So does Coach Roberts. And, you know, I watch every player, you know, so we've got a good machine up and running right now. We just finished. We've evaluated. There's 132 guys in the state for 2020. We've already watched myself, every person involved on the staff. So, you know, trying to start inside out, you know, and typically there's 100 Division I players a year in this state. When you talk about Group of Five, Power Five, we signed 17 last year. And, you know, I told Tim Leger this week, I said, man, I'm not convinced that we can't just say, hey, we're just going to recruit the state. You know, but the problem with that is some years maybe in certain positions.
Yeah, linemen are – right. You get the big linemen from Northwoods, but right. It's hard to find them in the South.
Yep.
And what amazed me, Coach, and maybe you could speak to it, the kids that came late, right? And so in the February period to go get the big kid out of Kaplan.
Right.
The kids that are up in North Louisiana, those are some that maybe in a different time when you didn't have the two cycles, they end up going to a different school.
Right.
But they fall into your lap, and obviously it doesn't happen easily, but, man, that's amazing to
me. And then he went in my dad's backyard and took out a little scat receiver from Thibodeau, Edie
White.
Yeah. And I hear there's another kid that wants to walk on who's supposed to be a fantastic player.
We've got, you know, we did great work throughout the entire state, you know. North Louisiana, obviously, the North Shore, River Parishes, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, you know, certainly right here in Acadiana. A lot of the success we had were in some of the rural areas, you know, where it's tough to get to. Osiris.
Thibodeau's not easy to get
to. Osiris Torrance is one of those that I'm telling you guys, man, you're going to see this guy.
Where's he from?
He's from Greensburg up in St. Helena.
Yeah.
You know, right there in the up in the North Shore. So, I mean, he's 6 foot five, 319 pounds. You know, a guy's got 34-inch arms, 11-inch hands.
Left tackle?
Could play probably about any position.
Really?
Yeah. Special kid, too, man.
Sounds like a Pete Jenkins dream.
Yeah. He's, you know, Kendall Wilkerson from Kent Woods is probably the best player we signed, in my opinion. 6'4 and a quarter, 274. Long, you know, can do a backflip. Mike Desimo.
That's crazy.
Mike Desimo's at pregame, and the guy runs and does a backflip.
Yeah.
He says, hey, do that again. I'm going to video that.
Street clothes.
Oh, and his gear. Oh, he's helmet, shoulder pads.
Chase Clemont could do that.
You know?
Big Chase from Thibodeau.
But, you know, and certainly the big kid over here at Kaplan is a phenom as well. So,
now, what about these kids?
I watched him at about 6'5", 285, 290?
6'4 and a half, 314.
Play wing back at Kaplan.
Yeah.
Punt the football.
I know he's too young, but my little buddy Walker Howard, you get to see him play yet?
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I could say
yeah,
anything
I can
him.
Say his name. You can't.
Yeah. I hear there's a heck of a young quarterback in KDN, though, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, you guys are going to string me up here. I hate to do it.
That's all right.
I'm hitting the ceiling here.
I had to throw Jamie's little boy in there.
I got to send it to LSU baseball. I got literally 10 seconds left. Coach.
Crush Texas.
Thank you for doing this.
You got it, man.
I'm glad we had
this.
Thank
you,
We're going to do it again another
Friday.
Good to
see you and Billy again.
And Clint, thank you, brother, for producing. I'm Ben Love. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Come join us at Rufino's on the River while listening to 103.7 The Game.
Thank you.